What difference does a name make? We're reading from the article, What Difference Does the True Name Make? And here is the title, What Difference Does a Name Make? From Chapter 8. One of the first comments made when the subject of the Hebrew names are mentioned, one of the first comments is, I don't see what difference it makes, what name we use. And perhaps they may put it in a different way. It's not the name that is important, but who we worship that counts. Well, I don't see what difference it makes, what name we use. It's not the name that's important, but who we worship. But both show the same total misunderstanding of the real subject. Indeed, there are some who worship the names, the sacred names, some of the sacred names people in that particular denomination. And just as there are those who worship Sunday or the Sabbath or some other pet ideology or specific doctrine. Usually these are just novelties, and then it kind of wears out. They either go balanced or they go apostate, and they leave. It's amazing. Yeah, the group just splits up. It's amazing how people or groups of people can single out certain doctrines as important or even essential while ignoring others that are on the same or even more important level, if this is possible. Essentially, true believers must worship fully within the knowledge granted them via Yahweh's Spirit, or they are only deceiving themselves to select those teachings that we feel are important while rejecting those teachings that we are uncomfortable with or require some sacrifice we're not willing to make, is rejecting Yahweh's Spirit that wants to lead us. Yahweh Hosha, or Yahosha, our Savior, said in John chapter 4, But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. True worship is not indeed limited. It must be a total commitment. It must have no limits or bounds. Our Savior gave himself totally and completely for us. He requires us to do the same for him. Essentially, then, when we are concerned with what is truth, spiritual truth, we are not concerned with ideas or opinions, but true facts. We're not concerned with tradition and customs and church dogmas, but true facts. With this in mind, we will continue here on YahvehYahweh.name. We have seen that names in scripture usage have a far greater significance than in our modern society. This is not to imply a mysterious, mystical meaning any more than it does today. It does show, however, a more intimate and more closely woven relationship with the Word, who is the King of Kings, or the King of Kings, who is the Word. We have also seen that there is a real basic evidence to support the name Yahweh as the family name of the Sovereign Mighty One, and the name Yahosha as the member of that family who was the spokesman, or the Word, and the direct contact with the patriarchs and prophets throughout the Old Testament period, the Old Covenant period. It was he who offered himself as our Passover lamb, that Zebok, that offering for our sins, as we see in the New Testament writings, the new writings of Rit Kohanim. And at the beginning, we stressed the importance of a right attitude, as the Bereans had in the book of Acts, an humble approach to the subject, seeking the truth of the matter by his word. His word is truth. So, is the name really important? Does it matter if we use an incorrect name? Are not God and Jesus correct, or just as good? Where did the traditional names come from? We read in the dictionary that the word God is of Anglo-Saxon origin. Also from the New Bible Dictionary, we read, and I quote, The derivation of the English word God is uncertain. Oh, yeah? That's not true. Well, that's why they call it the New Bible Dictionary. The word God never in any recognizable form appears in the early scripture, either in Greek or Hebrew, nor is it a Greek word. It is most frequently used by the translators in place of Elohim, if that's in the original Antioch Scrolls, and its various forms, though also used at times in place of the Hebrew name Yahweh, over 300 times. In the Brit Kaddishah, it is used mostly for the Greek Theos. We see then that God is neither Hebrew nor Greek, but an English word of Anglo-Saxon origin. This is not a scriptural word, and its early meaning in its original language is not clear. As a name, the word G-O-D has no real scriptural value, but a traditional value only. Actually, it's a derogatory noun, as I've shown here on the Yahweh.name website, quoting from C.J. Koster's book, and looking up that title, G-O-D. It's a much deeper problem, much greater problem. So the article I'm reading from right now, what difference does the true name make? He didn't really get into that at this time about the revelation of the original derivation of G-O-D. But he gave some truth there. Again, in the dictionary, Webster's Collegiate Dictionary, that is, Lord equals Baal. We see here. So in the dictionary, we see that L-O-R-D is also of Anglo-Saxon origin, and thus never a part of the early scriptures. Its meaning is one who has power and authority, and thus can apply to many others beside the supreme family or its members. Actually, Webster's would not tell you that Lord equals Baal. I got that out of Strong's. Sorry about that. It wasn't Webster's. It was Strong's Concordance. If you look up L-O-R-D, it means Baal. Or actually, no, wait a minute. No, it'll say God or something like that. No, look up Baal. Look up Baal. And so, look at it the other way. Turn it around. Look up Baal in the Strong's Concordance. And then that Baal is Lord. So, occasionally, the word Adonai replaces Yahweh. And I wouldn't use that either. In the New Testament, we find that it's almost always used in place of Kurios, a Greek word meaning master. Thus, the word L-O-R-D has the same traditional value as G-O-D. Well, Baal is Lord, from Strong's Concordance, and also corrupt the word Adonai, or the Hebrew word Adonai. And Elohim is also a Canaanite goddess, according to most resources. From Smith's Bible Dictionary, we read that Jesus is the Latinized Greek form of Joshua or Jeshua, a contraction of Jehoshua. The reader will have no trouble verifying this in most reputable works. Zeus, or even Zeus, is its suffix, meaning swine. And we have been deceived. Yes, we have. Now, if you look at and listen to the other articles that we have available in Yahweh.name, it'll get in more accurately and deeper into the Elohim, the L-O-R-D, and the G-O-D, and some of those other titles and words there. And there's only about 50 of them in the religious language in the English world there. There's not that many. People use the excuse, oh, well, what are you going to do, change the whole English language there? You have to change, what, 50 or 100,000 words? No, you wouldn't. It's only about 50 there, mainly when they pertain to our Father or the Savior. The name Jesus was substituted for Joshua, an English rendering for the Hebrew Yasha, or Yahshua, as seen from several places in scriptures. Hebrews 4, Jesus is used instead of Joshua, as your margin will show. This is in agreement with the context and also other Bible scripture authorities. So that was Hebrews 4:8, Acts 7:45. It is not the intention here to imply some sinister or devious meaning to the use of Lord God or Jesus. After all, the author himself here used that name and titles for 30 years. I used those for 30 years. And so it's not our intention to imply some sinister meaning other than what becomes necessary to present the study to you. It is sufficient to show the truth, and those truly called and diligent will desire to change accordingly as Yahweh's Spirit leads us. The Ruach HaKadosh leads us to desire to change to a more mature, proper, scriptural, separated, pure way. The better way, however, which has no real question of origin and none can honestly claim to have any other meaning, YHVH, the name Yahweh only, refers to the Supreme Family, though some do mistakenly limit its meaning to the Father, others still to the Savior's Old Testament name, the name Yahshua or its variants, Yahoshua or Yeshua, the latter, though corrupt, Yeshua, is the Hebrew name of our Savior and never refers to another deity. We're 10 minutes into the broadcast, and I'm expecting to go about 40 on this article, since it's another page longer than the other articles were. And we're reading here in chapter 8 from What Difference Does the True Name Make? What does the Old Testament say about Yahweh's name? Now let's look at the scriptures regarding these names and their usage, and let the reader determine, or the listener determine for herself, if they are important. Perhaps the best place to start is with the commandment, Exodus 20, restoring the words that we have already shown have been substituted. Exodus 27, verse 7, Thou shalt not take the name of Yahweh thy mighty one in vain, for Yahweh thy mighty one will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Keep in mind that the words in vain means destruction, desolation, ruin, or uselessness. Thou shalt not take the name of Yahweh thy mighty one to ruin or to make his name useless or desolation or destruction. We have a clear instruction not to use Yahweh's name in a desolate, destructive, or ruinous manner. We're not to use Yahweh's name or someone else's name. It is the sound only that we are speaking of, right? No. We showed in chapter 1 of this article, I didn't record that chapter 1 for you, but that a name means much more than a sound, yet does include its sound. Indeed, an uncertain sound is one of the excuses often used for retaining the surrogates, God or Jesus. Many quote 1 Corinthians 14:8, which speaks of a trumpet giving an uncertain sound. 14:8. They say one would not know of whom we speak if we use the names of Yahweh, Yahweh, and Yahosha or Yeshua. Yet they think nothing of preaching the name of God and Jesus to people who have never heard either name, and surely have no idea of whom they speak, thus to them an uncertain sound, except as they are taught by the evangelical Protestants. And some of them, of course, are ignorant of what they do. I was ignorant, so I was not really an evangelifish, but I was striving to come to the truth, and I'm still striving to come to more truth. What does it mean by name in this verse? The word used here is cross-referenced in Strong's Concordance in Hebrew 8.0.3.4. Shame, a primitive word. So, a primitive word through the idea of definite and conspicuous position, an appellation as a mark or memorial of individuality by implication honor, authority, and character. Thus we see by this authority, as is agreed by others, too, that its primary meaning concerns an individual's mark, verbal or otherwise, and secondarily, that is by implication, concerns his honor, authority, and character. We also saw in the preceding chapter, chapter 7, that a name as used in the scriptures has an even deeper meaning than this. We should not ignore its principal meaning because of our preferences or traditions. We read in the Jesenius, Hebrew lexicon, that name means to mark with a sign, to designate sign, stigma, mark, and so on. Would you think someone was bringing your name to uselessness if they gave credit to a name that was not yours for a major offering you made for them? Would you appreciate your employers putting someone else's name on your paycheck? Well, of course you wouldn't mind at all that. The amount of the check isn't that much anyway. I get nothing. We read in the Jacinius Hebrew Lexicon, from the noun are derived to name. He further shows that by disregarding a character from the Hebrew, some regard it as meaning authority, as it is in the case in the LXX translator. He then continues with the many variants of the word's usage. The reader would do well to read them as well as other references. Or would you like to see someone else given credit and promoted because of your work? Do we bring one's name to desolation when we tell others that it is like using magic or a form of witchcraft to use their correct name? As some of the anti-names people do. They accuse us of, to use Yahweh's correct name is, well, that's witchcraft. Yeah, it sounds like a bunch of people who didn't make it on the boat there in Noah's time, who were outside the ship, the Noah's Ark. Can we really feel that it will be taken lightly at that day when we know and still refuse to use the name of the only eternal almighty family that exists? All evidence shows that Yahweh is the personal name of the mighty one of the Israelites. Of that there is no doubt. Yahweh is the personal name. Further, he tells us that it is he, Yahweh, only, who is most high over all the earth. Psalm 83:18. We'll read the verse to make sure we are applying it honestly. From the King James, 83:18, Psalms, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art most high above all the earth. Of course, I would change that to Yahovah, but with a Y. J has only been around 500 years. Men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art most high over all the earth. And then a different version, that they may know that thou alone, whose name is L-O-R-D, art the most high over all the earth. And from J.B., let them know this, you alone bear the name Yahweh, most high over the whole world. Now, this verse does tell us that Yahweh is the most high over all, regardless of where you insert the word alone, that thou alone, whose name is Yahweh, art the most high above the earth. No matter where you assert that alone word. It also states his name Yahweh in the original Hebrew. We know of no other than Yahweh. Let's go back to Exodus, starting at 3 verse 4, where we see Moses being called from a voice in the burning bush. Exodus 3:4. Moshe is told that he was to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Moses protests, saying that they will want to know his name. So we have the direct answer from the Mighty One himself. We'll use the expression Mighty One frequently for the Hebrew Elohim, as we have already shown this is the literal meaning. By the way, Elohim, we have researched. Most articles say Elohim is corrupt. Well, then they'll, of course, point to the manuscripts, but those are probably Egyptian Alexandrian manuscripts. And I haven't confirmed that. But that would be interesting when I get that far, and comparing the manuscripts of the Antioch versus the Alexandrian scrolls of the Hebrew. So Exodus 3:14, and Elohim, the Mighty One, said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. It's interesting, we keep reading, and it actually says Yahweh, or Jehovah there. Here we read the phrase, I am that I am, a Hebrew phrase whose meaning is rooted in the idea of self-existence. Jacinius puts it this way, I shall be the same that I am today. The New Bible Dictionary translated, I will be as I will be. From the Encyclopedia Judaica, page 680, regarding the name of Yahweh, we read, in the opinion of many scholars, Yahweh is a verbal form of the root H-Y-H, to be. Or, of course, they're not using Yahweh, they're using Yahweh. In the opinion of many scholars, Yahweh is a verbal form of the root H-Y-H. The vowel of the first syllable shows that the verb is used in the form of a future present causative H-I-P-H, accent IL. It must therefore mean he causes to be, he brings into existence. The explanation of the name is given in Exodus 3:14. This account agrees with all the others that the phrase I am that I am is the meaning of the name, not the name itself. The etymology of the name Yahweh, or Yahvah, more properly, was given therefore by its bearer himself. Nor is this a relatively new concept, as has been suggested by our opponents, by Yahweh's opponents. You'll find that an early edition of Smith's Bible Dictionary of 1884 agrees that this fully and even acknowledges the name Yahweh, Y-A-H-V-E-H, referring its readers to an earlier publication titled Yahweh Christ or the Memorial Name by Dr. McWhorter, M-A-C-W-H-O-R-T-E-R, McWhorter, maybe. Now continuing in Exodus 3, and Elohim said, moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, Yahweh, the mighty one of your fathers, the mighty one of Abraham, the mighty one of Yitzhak, and the mighty one of Yaakov, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Now we see that Yahweh was telling Moshe what to tell the Israelites when they asked who sent him. If Moshe was afraid that they wouldn't listen to him, which is the obvious reason for asking, then a new and unfamiliar name surely would not have been sufficient. However, Yahweh told them his name and emphasized it by revealing its meaning. Further, he made it clear that his name is permanent, that is, forever, and unto all generations. And they listened to him. They must have understood that name. And that was true history. Now we already saw that name here is referring to Yahweh's individual mark, which in this case is its sound. While you could try to interpret it as authority, and it could mean that it surely must include the verbal sound if we are to be faithful with the scripture. As to punctuate that, Yahweh follows it with a statement, and this is my memorial. The word memorial used here is referenced in Strong's Concordance 2143 and means memento, abstract recollection. This really should be sufficient for anyone serious about the truth. It clearly tells us that his, the self-existent one's name, is Yahweh, and it will be his name and his remembrance forever. Do we make it vain? Do we make it useless by refusing or denying it, even after all he did for us? At the other end of the Old Covenant, we see this emphasized. Actually, I called it covenant. It's the end of the older scriptures, Malachi 3:6. At the end of the Old Testament, I guess people like to say that, whatever that means. Malachi 3:6. For I am Yahweh, I change not. Malachi 3:6. I change not. Yeah. People got to figure it out that he's changed quite a bit. I am Yahweh, I change not, Malachi 3:6, a clear statement. Of course, it is clouded in the most English renderings, the Lord, for I am Lord, I change not. Again, this is the meaning of this name, the unchangeable, eternal one, the I am that I am, whose name and character never changes. We can count on it. Hosea, chapter 12. Hosea also knew his name. Here we go, Hosea 12:5. You don't need to look it up if you don't want, because it's like this. Even Yahweh, Elohim of hosts, Yahweh is his memorial. Or Elohim of armies, Yahweh is his memorial. Even Y-H-V-H, Yahweh, Hosea 12:5. Read it in context and see how Hosea pleads with them to return to their mighty one, reminding them of his name. Another clear reference, once we restore the original Yahweh, Y-H-V-H, is Isaiah. And it's really clear. He's a jealous one, Exodus 20, verse 5, in the commandment there. Isaiah, yes, Yahu, 42:8, Isaiah 42:8. I am Yahweh, that is my name. And my kavod, the Hebrew word kavod, or English word esteem, my esteem, will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. That's clear. He is a jealous, mighty one. We don't want to break that commandment. Then we're going to go to some Psalms. The Psalms, full of clear instructions to praise Yahweh by name, which had been clouded by the surrogates and substitutes inserted by the scribes and the translators. Good examples are Psalm 68, verse 4, 92:1, 92:8, Psalm 8. Let's see, I like to put them in order here. Psalm 8, 1 and 9. O Yahweh, our Master, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. 34:3, O magnify Yahweh with me, and let us exalt his name forever. And 68:4, Psalm 68, sing unto the mighty one, sing praises to his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. I shouldn't have put a comma in there in my voice. So extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. Of course, the J came 500 years ago, so it in the modern scriptures, including King James, it says Jah, J-A-H. But we pronounce it Yah. But the spelling definitely changed things there a little bit. Psalm 92, 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto Yahweh, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Verse 8. But thou, Yahweh, art Most High forevermore. Psalm 103, verse 1. We're 26 minutes into the broadcast now. Going for probably about 40 minutes here, about 8 megs or something, I guess. Psalm 103, verse 1, Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his separated name, his Kadosh name. Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his Kadosh name. Not Kodesh. Kodesh refers to others other than Yahweh, the Father and Son. Psalm 105, verse 1, O give thanks unto Yahweh, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk you of all his wondrous works. Magnify his pure name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek Yahweh. That was Psalm 105. You probably want to look that one up there, I kind of buzzed through it. Psalm 111, verse 9. Kadosh and reverend is his name. Now, there's a little problem with reverend there, but Kadosh and separated is his name. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. Oh, this is 111 verse 10. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom, a good understanding of all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. That's just a few of the multitude of passages that show his name is important. These are his instructions, not any man or movement, not any sacred name movement. The question is, will we do his will? Then next, what do we do about the name Jesus? I need to take a quick break here at the mic, but be back within the same file. What about the name Jesus? Again, I wish to emphasize that it is not my intention to condemn any for using the traditional names such as Jesus that have come down to us through the Christian organizations. I used that name Jesus for 30, 35 years. There should be no doubt that Yahweh knows the heart and will be merciful where there is no knowledge of such things. However, be careful, once we do have knowledge, to make our calling and election sure. Let each individual be established in his own heart, not condemning others, either because they use the name Jesus or because they use the Hebrew name Yahusha. Be assured that Yahweh knows the secrets of our hearts and its intents. Jeremiah, am I right? Anyway, it says, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I think it's Jeremiah 17:9. Be assured that Yahweh knows the secrets of our hearts. The heart is deceptive and desperately wicked. Who could know it? But if I've been saved, then my heart isn't deceitful anymore. Everything that I come up with has to be 100% right. I'm infallible. Is that correct? No, I'm not. I'm not infallible. I don't know anybody who is. I know somebody who thinks he is. Good friend of mine, not too far away from me, who has his own website, his own church, and so on, his own assembly, rather. Well, away from that, it is a fact that our Savior never heard the name Jesus. In Jerusalem, 2,000 years ago, you wouldn't hear Jesus because there was no J. It did not exist at that time, as far as any present evidence shows. For that matter, it was never used until well into the 17th century, in other words, well into the 1600s, when the I had gradually taken the form of several sounds, one of which became our present-day harsh J sound, as a Jehovah Witness, a J sound as we showed earlier. How about a better word? Joy. J for joy. We have given an explanation of the Savior's name in chapter 5 of What Difference Does the True Name Make? I didn't make a chapter 5 here. I didn't do an audio file on that, but this is the most important one, this chapter 8 that we're reading now, and but anyway, he suggests you refer back to chapter 5 at this time to refresh your memory. Keep these points in mind. Paul heard the Savior's voice in the Hebrew language. Surely then, he did not hear the name Jesus, or Iesus, pronounced as Iesus, according to Strong's Concordance, number 2424. And that would be Greek, 2424. And that would be the reference, the address would be Acts 26, 14. And many other places, too, where Jesus or Jesus has been translated or mistranslated. Both Joshuas in the Old Testament were a type of the Messiah to come, as we have shown in chapter 7. It is not their name. It is not their name also significant? The account of Joshua, the high priest, has the prophet Zechariah crowning Joshua, calling him the branch, proceeding then in a prophecy yet to come of the Messiah, or proceeding the Messiah. Again, does this not include the name? We see that the branch in Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6, the branch is called Yahweh Tsidkenu. Tsidkenu. This is Yahweh, our righteousness. In 23:5-6, Jeremiah, Yahu. The translator, or those who copied the early manuscripts also, as if in a zealous drive to erase the name Yahsha, or Yahosha, replaced too many names, substituting Iesus for Joshua. And we can see that, where that deliberate attempt was in Hebrews 4:8, Acts 7:45. Why did they take it upon themselves to replace that? There's no excuse. There is no support for the name Iesus, or later form of Jesus, etymologically. Why, I just about broke my jaw. The Hebrew Yahusha, or its earlier form, or Yahvahosha, means Yahweh, Savior. It means much more than that, but I'm just reading the article here that says that from the article, What Difference Does the True Name Make? We went into more detail there on, what is the true name? It is only through the Roman Church that we have support for the name Iesus. That's the RCC, the Roman Church, that we have support for the name Iesus or Jesus as their Savior's name. They also gave us Sunday, the venerable day of the sun, in place of the seventh day Sabbath, the day of rest, the day of commemoration, of resting from the creation of the universe. So they gave a Sunday in place of Sabbath and perverted the feast days, such as Ashtoreth or Easter, and gave us Halloween. Well, I don't know who gave us Halloween, but I do know that they gave us Ishtar, a Babylonian sex goddess. And they perverted feast days based on a perverted calendar, as well as many other traditions, in place of our Hebrew heritage. Praise Yahweh for our Hebrew heritage, that we are rediscovering our roots and restudying here. We still have more to get out of us, more Babylon to tear apart there, and to study, divide, to ask the Spirit to help us overcome this. There are many claims that Jesus or Jesus was a replacement to the true Hebrew name, with possible connections to the similar Greek deity Zeus, Z-E-U-S. The sound does have a similarity, and it is true that there was a great effort to remove all trace of Jewishness, quote, and Judaism, so-called, from Christianity, quote-unquote, or from the true faith as well. And so there was an effort to remove the true name in the early formation of the Assemblies of Yahweh, the Messianic Assemblies. Thus, such a claim could have some validity. Equally, however, could be the possibility that it may have evolved from the true name in some way not clear to us. Consistent with a true attitude, we feel it is wrong to pursue a negative direction or dispute others' beliefs without clear proof. Now, we did look at the word Iesus, and Sus means swine. And so we need to look up all of that again. But, where did the name Yeshua come from? And all those, look up those articles again. If you didn't, please look them up there. And there's information there. There's information at other ministries as well. Although, they wouldn't endorse this website, and I wouldn't endorse theirs totally. you'll find out the truth as you seek it. The Yahweh is not going to hold you responsible if you've made a diligent effort to search the truth. And I don't mean you have to make an effort of 3 hours a day or 8 hours a day of study either, but on the Sabbath day we should make a good diligent effort to study these things, not just go around and talk to people about what kind of car I've got or something. So let's take the safest course of praising our Savior by the Hebrew name that we know, Yahusha, and praising the Father by Yahweh, by that name. All truthful evidence supports Yahusha, or its earlier form, irrespective of various dialects, as the true name of our Savior. We know what his name is not. It's not Jesus. It's not Iesus. It's not Christos. It's not Jesus or Christ. His name is not Ernie, Ernest, or the man upstairs, or George. No, but we do use the name Yahusha here. That we've studied that from the resources that are available. Others use Yeshua, or an earlier form, Yahoshua. And there's some other variations as well. Sometimes people change on that. Sometimes notable leaders will change from using one name to using another name because they have done a deeper study. They have been diligent in studying. Maybe they still don't come up with the correct name, but at least they've made a great effort there. So thanks for joining us today. The article was, What Difference Does the True Name Make? That's the cover article, as well as the title of this chapter, Chapter 8, What Difference Does the True Name Make? In subsequent chapters, we may go through Chapter 9 with How About a New Testament Witness? Chapter 10, The Name in Prophecy. Well, that should be very, very important. And Chapter 11 is, I don't know what it is. I can't turn to it here. In the meantime, I'll give you our website, yahvehyahweh.name. And the email is stephanyah@yahvehyahweh.name. Oh, chapter 11. That looks like one that I should address there. What about the critics? So I might just do chapter 11 next, the next time we upload some MP3s for you. There are some free downloads on this website. And, just skip the chapter 11 and then maybe pick up these others later. Chapter 9, what about the New Testament witness and so on. There's a lot of evidence there. And if I get pressure from you to do some of these other studies, like the chapter 5 I referred to, then I'll be persuaded because there'll be a need. I will see there's a need to do that. So remember, StephanYahvehYahweh.name. And shalom to you. Peace. Shalom. And thanks for your efforts today and your support in listening to this, but a word or two would be most appreciated. Thank you. Stephan Yaw signing off now.